And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 22nd, 2023, Season 17, Episode 13. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. Check out In-Game Chat on .net for all the links to get in touch with us. We got a lot there. God, you know what? They did an update on our website over the time we were away. I'm just gonna sign on. Okay, good. It still works. I mean, I would know tonight when I go to do, or tomorrow when I go to do the upload for the show and everything, but
right.
I was just like, you know, maybe you gotta check, see if it's even still there. They told you it was good, but they also told you, hey, check around, make sure it all works. And I was like, okay. First glance, seems to be all right. So go to ingamechat.net. You will find all the stuff to get in touch with us and all the ways to communicate with us as well. Phone number I've already given, but you've got our twitch.tv. You go there. You can join in the chat room live while we broadcast. We've got Discord pulled up here. You go there, and you can talk to us on the air, which is great. Much better than this. The phone's okay. The phone is like flip a coin. It might be good, it might be bad, and you can kind of work with it to fix it. Discord, always good. Always good. Get this out of the way. Is that a fingernail? Ew. Yeah. So just flick it across the room, right? Ew. Anyway. Just so people know. Other people work in this studio.
And they leave some pleasant gifts for
this us. This is the only time, mostly, during the week that I am sitting in this position. Normally it's over there in that chair.
Yeah.
It's where, when you're watching the show sometimes and a third person is on, that's where I'm usually sitting with the third person. Wendy, Matt, and whoever is going to sit in that chair. That's normally where I'm at. Monday through Friday, anyway.
Right.
So on the rare occasion I'm back here during the week, but this is the only day that I'm back behind this board. So anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. Go to twitch.tv, type in game chat. You can find the show there and join us live while we broadcast. You can go to our website. Like I said, ingamechat.net. There should be a link there that'll send you right to our Twitch page and our Discord and everything else. And we already got the phones going. Let's go to them then. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this? Hey, man. What's up?
How's the phone sound?
Bad.
Bad.
The usual.
God, who knows what's in that phone?
I have no idea. I have to mess with the fader and kind of see if that, you know, moves, changes anything with it. So far, it hasn't. So, but anyway, what's going on? What's up? Wow. What's up with you?
Oh, no. Just taking it easy. Got out with my parents today to go look around in cars and maybe slim down my horizons, you know, just kind of get an idea of what I might be wanting to look into, and they're still saying, "Oh, you need to get a new one," and they're completely against me getting a used car. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with a used car if you do your research and, you know, you look into everything? I mean, so I looked around a little bit today and decided to take it easy the rest of the afternoon.
Oh, okay, good. Well, great then. You gonna take it easy by playing games?
Yeah, of course.
What you gonna play?
Got back in. I've been playing the Ghost Bar Tokyo I had bought on sale. You know, I think it was last year around Black Friday. I think it's when I got it. I said, "Yeah, that's kind of up my alley," and I've been enjoying that one. I've been having fun with it, so I decided to pop it in and start playing it. So.
What PS5 or what are you playing it on?
PlayStation 5.
Okay, I know it recently got released on. I think it was either PC or Xbox or both. Actually, I think it got a PC and PS5 release originally, and now it's got an Xbox release, I believe.
Yeah,
so,
I think it had a year exclusivity on the PlayStation 5.
It did, yeah, it did. And I think now you think it might be on Game Pass. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Not sure.
Released worldwide March 25th as a one-year timed exclusive for PS5 and Windows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew it was. What's the company? What's the developer? The publisher and developer?
Tango GameWorks is the developer.
Help had a hand in it.
Yeah. And what's the publisher?
Bethesda.
So it's an Xbox-owned company. That's what it is. Yeah. Because Bethesda is owned, right? Yes. Bethesda is owned by Xbox. Or Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So that was one of those things that was already in the works. Like, hey, we already got this deal that we signed with Sony, though this has to release. And then now, yeah, it's actually... That tells me for certain that it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
For you to be able to... If you've got a subscription to Game Pass, you can play it now on your Xbox. So, anything else you're playing, Chris?
Well, you had mentioned last time a couple of weeks ago that you were looking to get Dredge, but I got Dredge on the Switch and went through it 100% and got everything and all, and that was very fun. You probably enjoyed that, but I had a blast with playing it.
Dredge, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm still actually interested in it, more so probably on the PC than I would be, especially now that I got a Steam Deck. And I know it runs pretty good on the Steam Deck. Yeah. So it's weird now because it's like, hey, is that on the Switch or is it on the... Oh, no, get it for Steam. Then I can play it on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, anything that's, you know, that's portable that you can play, you know, that's on Steam, yeah, I'd go the same route if you have, you know, a more powerful platform to play it on.
Yeah, it's... And, oh, man, I really haven't done much with the Steam Deck yet. I'm still waiting on... the SSD prices to somebody do a sale or something like that or whatever the case may be, just so that I can start tinkering with it. And I have yet to even start. I really haven't dug deep into the machine yet because without that crucial component, there's very little I can do with it that I'm either not going to have to redo whenever that component comes in or... Yeah, I don't want to put all that effort into that and then have to redo it again whenever the SSD is available. So, I haven't started on that, but slow process into getting there.
Yeah, the first thing I'm thinking about is the space available on that thing.
That's the thing. Really, that's why I'm doing this. I want to get a 1 terabyte,
especially with that
hard drive.
I think we were talking about it last time with that debacle with the memory with the PS Vita.
Yeah, this is not proprietary.
Yeah.
Things. It uses anything that all... I say it uses anything. It's not anything. I mean... Right, yeah. I mean, it uses a laptop SSD, kind of. The 2230, I think, is the M2 2230 is the spec for the SSD that goes in it. And it's just a small NMV or NVMe, like, little... thing that,
and it might be similar or the same type of make or the specs for what the external memory for the PlayStation 5 is, and it's the same type of, or similar to that, isn't it?
No, actually, it's different than that, actually, from what I understand. The SSDs that go in a PlayStation 5 are typical that you would put on a motherboard of a PC, an NVMe drive, that can clip into your... Now, that's the internal that you can replace. Now, an external, you can just put anything, you know, as long as it's got a USB, you can plug into it, and you'll, USB-C, I think, and you can plug into it and have an external hard drive that you want to. But if you want to actually replace the drive in your PlayStation 5, it has to be a, not a 2230, but like a 2280, maybe, I'm not sure. But it's the long...
The beefy one?
Yeah, the long SSD. Or NVMe SSD is what I'm thinking of. It's like a it's something that I didn't really know existed until I built my new PC and realized you could put hard drives directly onto the motherboard, which is not something that you did back previous when I built my PC. Yeah. You didn't attach a hard drive directly to a motherboard. You plug SATA cables into it to plug your hard drives into the motherboard, but never something that just clipped onto the motherboard. It was an interesting thing. Anyway, same thing that the PlayStation 5 and I want to say the Xbox Series X also uses. That's how they can get those fast load times or basically...
I think it has to do with all the fast transfer speeds in between the system and all that.
Right, so if you...
With everything.
Yeah, if you are going to think about replacing your hard drive in your PlayStation 5, and it's something that you are free to do, you can do that. You're not... I don't necessarily think you actually void warranty when you do it. You might, not that you really have to worry about it. If you have any kind of, I mean, you can look at a YouTube video on how to do it, and it is quick and painless to take apart your PlayStation 5, put in a new hard drive. Now, the hard drive, however, that you have to pick has to meet certain specifications. The read-write speed needs to be a certain amount. And you can look this up online to figure out exactly what it is. But
yeah, I got a little thing here looking at it, right?
A lot of the hard drives that you'll buy now, as the NVMe versions, will say PlayStation 5 compatible, or they now include the consoles as being compatible with them.
Yeah.
So it'll be easier for you to find what you want to replace in there. Because I think it's a terabyte on the original drive.
It's a little bit
one terabyte.
I had a terabyte or just under, but luckily with the fast internet that I'm amazed to have out the house now, you know, it really hasn't become an issue. But I was thinking, you know, down the road I might get an external drive and, you know, add more memory to it. But I really hadn't seen the need to so far.
Yeah,
same. Really haven't had a problem with my console memory.
Yeah, I was looking at the guide here from Games Hub, and it says a one terabit internal drive, but only 667 gigs is actually usable to store games.
Well, you got an operating system and everything else going on there.
So it says the hard factors you need to keep in mind is that you need an M2 NVMe SSD, which uses the PCIe Gen 4 protocol, also sometimes labeled as 4.0.
Yeah.
And is at least 250 gigs, but no more than 4 terabytes.
Right, and there's a certain read-write speed that it needs to be, I believe.
Drive must also have a heat sink installed, and
these
things come in multiple sizes, but thankfully the PS5 supports several sizes, 2230, 2242, 2260, 2280.
Oh, it does support a laptop drive.
And 22110.
Yeah. Okay, it supports a bunch of different ones. All right.
Videos on it where you had different screw mounts for different lengths of cards that you could put in there, as long as it met the speed mix and specs and everything. And it could cool, you know, you could put different sizes or lengths in there.
No, yeah, that's exactly right. Again, I've never run across it to where I've felt like I need to upgrade the hard drive on any of those console systems, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, haven't made that step yet, and I haven't made the step into taking apart the Steam Deck yet. I have saved so many articles and Reddit posts and waiting for the time when that comes so that I can go and
whenever you decide to do that, you're going to take your
exactly. Well, there's plenty of people who have done who have done your step by step guides. There's plenty of people who have written things like, "Hey, here's what you need to do. Here's 10 things that are going to scare you when taking apart your Steam Deck." Blah 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 blah. All these things that I need to look out for, just for whenever I get around to doing that. But I'm not really worried.
Ahead of time and make sure you have nice steady hands and then take your own pace and time, right?
Oh yeah, totally. So, and that'll be fun to do, but that's just whenever I get around to doing it. So that's on hold until then. So you played anything else, Chris, or anything planning to play?
Since my birthday's pretty much right around the corner, my mom and dad, you know, were with me the other day afternoon and then wanted to know what on my birthday. Well, the Dead Island 2 just came out. If y'all just want to get that for me, that'd be good enough for me. So I might open it up in the next day or so and start playing it some. But I also I'd ordered the expensive Switch copy of the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster that has all six games on it.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of wondering, you know, I got the one that had the LP vinyl records in it.
Yeah.
But the Switch, you know, the actual game comes separate from the collector's edition. So if you happen to see the big box sets of the LP records and everything on eBay and stuff, and it doesn't have the game with it, you know, that's not a big deal because that's how it came, because the game came separate from that package.
Yep.
All right.
I've kind of listened to some of the music online from that they did on the remaster, and it sounds okay, but I still prefer the original sound for the original the one on Nintendo. I like the first game and everything, but I think I just might save some of those YouTube videos and stuff to listen to the music and just leave everything sealed in the box and just put it back up on the shelf for collectability.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, you know, the box and everything looks pretty and all, and I was able to get that little plastic cover sleeve, you know, protector sleeve that was on there open out without tearing and ripping it up so I could put it back and protect it from dust and everything. So it's all back in its box, and I can technically say it's brand new, even though I've opened it, look at it. I mean, no, nothing else has been touched, so.
Yeah.
And
close enough, huh?
You know, the moment you open it up, it's used.
Well, we appreciate hearing from you, Chris, and we'll talk to you again next weekend, all right?
All right, y'all have a good one.
You too, man.
Take care now.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. I got a few more minutes here before we go to break. We'll quickly get into what we played. What have you played over the past 2 weeks? Anything?
More Criminal Activity and Grand Theft Auto Online.
I was going to ask you... Street Fighter 6 demo?
I played a little bit of it.
Sorry to jump into there. You may have been going in that direction, but that's the first thing that hit me in the head was like, oh, whoa, Street Fighter VI demo. Did you jump in?
Yeah, I got the World Tour thing, and I got the most I did in there was build my avatar for World Tour mode. But then I played a little bit of the fighting aspect.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
Did the tutorial things like that. Went through, saw the impact of classic controls and the modern control. They want to say modern controls, which is I can't help but call it basic or simple mode. That's what they used to call it back in the day. But now they call it modern controls. But I just stuck with classic. Went straight to the 6-button layout. And because that's what I've been used to all these years, so I've been.
How long have they had modern controls implemented, or at least optionable?
It's been in some of the Capcom fighting games. Marvel Capcom 2 comes to mind, like a basic or simple mode, things like that.
What about in Street Fighter though? How long is it? Is this the first time or
first time that I can recall? Yeah, that it's been a simplified mode of controls that I can recall.
I doubt anybody's switching it then. I mean,
the casual player who's never been into the fighting genre before might get into that.
I mean, I got to remember that there's people who haven't been around as long as you and I or anybody else that's listening has been around to know that, I mean, okay, it's Street Fighter. These are the controls, you know? Even as a casual, I still have memory of how the controls work with the 6-button layout and the 6-button stick layout. I still know how most of the controls work. I'm not advanced at it, but there's no way I would switch up the control. I guess, I don't know, what's the difference in, give me an example.
It's 3 buttons, like one button does light attacks, one button does the medium attacks, and one button does the heavy attack. And then the 4th button, if you're looking at a PlayStation pad, one button does special moves. And depending on what direction you're pushing, when you hit the special move button, you'll have a special move come out. But the regular attacks are the 1 button.
Give me let's take, for example, the Fireball by Ken Fireball.
I believe it, when I last I checked, it was like
classic control was half circle,
quarter circle forward with a punch button at the end of the
and
motion.
Then punch. Yeah.
Yeah, that was your Fireball motion.
Modern control does what?
Press triangle.
No movement, no forward, no stick movement,
Just press triangle.
Is that the 4th button you're talking about?
Yep.
Or really?
Yep. Looking at the face of a PlayStation pad, triangle.
So can you just not spam that over? Because they used to. I mean, people used to just, you know, hit that.
Yeah, you can do it.
Quarter turn, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, but you can just sit there and spam.
Just do that. But you know, spamming fireballs. You know, there's a way around it.
I mean,
try Drew now. Yeah,
there's a counter. I'm sure
there's a counter for it. Yeah.
But man, okay. Well, okay. Maybe I would change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're making it as simple as just press a button.
Yeah.
Do fireball, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. What about anything more complicated? Like
combos can be done, but I think it's rapidly tapping.
So how does he do his uppercut?
I think it's forward and triangle.
Okay, about, so they're right.
Like I said, depending on the direction you push, when you hit the triangle button, default on the PlayStation pad.
And the helicopter kick?
I think it's back.
Back triangle?
Back and triangle. I believe that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I was not aware.
Yeah.
Never mind. People will switch to modern in no time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Filthy casuals will, anyway. I know I would.
Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, no matter what control scheme you use, getting those combos and intricate chains put together, things like that.
Yeah.
It's just going to take time and practice, regardless of what control scheme you got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everyone's doing right now. I mean, I got to the party late. I mean, I just said demo available. I was like, oh, just maybe start trying to download this thing and see if I can get into it. But there was only 2 characters available, Luke and Ryu, was available for the demo. Yeah, but we've seen so many other characters out there. We thought maybe a little disappointing. We thought maybe get like maybe 6, maybe, but no, just 2 for this one. Maybe later on down the line, or just wait till the full version comes out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at this point, this demo is just for you to play it early, really, because you know you'll be playing that when it releases. So.
Yeah,
I totally get that and understand it. What else, in GTA you did as well?
Yeah, and got some matches in Virtua Fighter 5.
Okay,
in as well, got some really high level opponents this time around with a good connection. So I tried to play that as long as I could, and good little learning experience because there were some things I found out about my character that I didn't think about or forgotten all this time. So it was good to remember that. Get a little rehash every now and then.
For me, obviously, I played Destiny, obviously, but I was trying to think of, played a little bit more of Cloudpunk, not a lot, very, very little bit more of that. Mm-hmm. I got a little bit deeper into Return of the Obra Dinn. It's more of figuring out who did what. You get to witness, it's like solving a murder mystery type of thing. You're trying to figure out what happened to this ship mm-hmm. and the crew members and stuff like that. So going through that, it's kind of a nice little detective type game that I'm discovering. Not sure. I mean, this journal that you're keeping has many, many pages that need filling in, so I'm not exactly sure how deep this whole thing goes, but we'll see as I casually go to play it. And then other than that, it's been Destiny 2. Working on the specific challenges for the master version of the raid. So the raid has four encounters, mm-hmm. four sections where you get loot, you know, of any worth. And
about to ask, good loot or run of the mill stuff?
No, it's good. It's okay. Good. And regardless, it's upping your level when you get it, because it's pinnacle stuff every time you open it up, which is upping the level of stuff that you get. And right now, since I finally did hit level cap, I need excess stuff to put into my current weapons to get them all up to level. None of that makes sense probably to anybody listening who doesn't know anything about Destiny.
Still using the Hunter?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I haven't changed that up at all. Mm-hmm. I do plan on using my Warlock and my Titan, my other two characters. I do plan on going through the main storyline of Lightfall, pushing them through that, getting them up to level, not necessarily trying to get them through a bunch of stuff that my Hunter's gone through. But I would like them to be at a level to where if our team or if whoever I'm trying to play with needs a Warlock or needs a Titan, that I can fulfill that role mm-hmm. if needed. Right now, though, I'm Hunter main, so that'll be down the road. Not too far down the road, because we are coming up on the never mind. I was going to say they're about to introduce or about to start up Guardian Games, which happens for the month of May. And we'll see if that prevents me from doing that or not. I don't know. But anyway, point being, the raid has four encounters, which I can get through the raid really quickly now. I've been doing pickup groups, and we've been going through less than an hour to get it done. Mm-hmm. 30, 45 minutes, I guess. If we're really good at it, 30 minutes, that thing can be knocked out easily in 30. Mm-hmm. I think the world record right now is about 11 minutes to do a raid. Yeah. Now, they have things in place.
I'm about to say, somebody's OP.
Yeah, well, they have a few things in place. For one, they have somebody who has a checkpoint at the first encounter. So you just load in, and boom, you're at the first encounter. You run through that, then you run through the second encounter. Then there's this long stretch of this jumping puzzle that you have to do to get to the third encounter, right? Somebody else on a different character has a checkpoint for that one. So as soon as you beat encounter two, he jumps onto his other character, loads in there, everybody joins on him, he switches back out, they go through encounter three, and then they go through encounter four, and then boom, done. Okay. So it's a speed run, yes, but even without a speed run, you can run this thing in 30 minutes, no problem. Anyway, the master version was released, which is everything is much more difficult. Mm-hmm. Your level is set to a constant 15 power below everything else. Everything else is 15 power above you, which makes things harder to do. There's more enemies on the map. There are restrictions as far as like things you can use not restrictions on what you can use, but
it's one of them Nightfall things where you got little change, little modifiers.
It is, yeah, it is. It doesn't lock your gear though, so mm-hmm. I can switch out to whatever I want anytime I want. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't lock gear, but it does introduce champions into the thing who have shields and all sorts of different stuff. So there's things like that. Anyway, for each encounter in the Master, there is a challenge, And we did the first one. I got that done, no problem. Well, I say no problem. It took us about 2.5 hours to get that first one done. Well, you got to understand, the master release, the first one would have been, if this is the fourth encounter, that would have been 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't where we were level-wise to get up there, you know? I mean, we were still 15 below, but we were already not at our highest we could be at the start of that. So that, and the challenge was, is that you had to kill the main enemy of that encounter, who shows up like 4 or 5 times during the encounter. Each time he shows up, you have to kill him while having a certain timed buff from, you know, other things in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you killed him and you didn't have, you know, if you were the, it, so let's say you threw a grenade out, right?
Yeah.
And the grenade over time is like taking away health, tick, tick, tick. Well, if your buff runs out and then that last grenade tick takes him down, the challenge has failed.
Hmm.
So we had to be very careful about that.
Yeah.
Thank God we got it done, so we don't have to worry about it. The second encounter takes place on two different sides of a room with a massive gap in between that you can only cross with these launchers that go across. The launchers have triggers in front. You shoot the trigger, it launches you across. The challenge for that was somebody on the other side of the room has to send you across. You can't send yourself across. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can't shoot the trigger on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else has to. So because of going back and forth, we had to time everything. We had to do, you know, and especially when you have to go higher in the level, there's two sides. Each side has three levels. When you finish the first floor, you take the launcher that sends you to the second floor. But the problem is that we could send most of the group, no problem, but then there's at least two guys who have to count down when they shoot each other's trigger to send them across. Otherwise, you fail the challenge.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
The third encounter, I'm not going to go into the specifics as to how it all worked, but I could not get it done. I couldn't play with the guys on Saturday night. It was Wendy's birthday dinner, and it was really good. But I couldn't. So I was picking these pickup groups each and every time I was trying to play. And I would do it every single day of the week because I knew I wasn't going to play on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So every single day of the week, I was trying for like an hour with just pickup groups to get it done. And then Saturday morning came around, and I tried really hard to do it then. And then Sunday, I tried really hard to get it done then. And then Monday, I tried again. Couldn't do it. Could not do it. They got it done. My clan did.
Mm-hmm.
But I was monitoring them on Saturday. I was just like, hey, how's it going? They said, it's going really bad. Hours and hours and hours go by. They started 8. They finished around midnight. So it took them 4 hours to get that challenge done.
Goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm hoping that when that rolls back around in 3 weeks, the challenge rotates every single week. So when that rolls back around in 3 weeks, we'll be a little bit better at trying to get that down and get it done. So,
I know you didn't want to go into details, but is it basically something like a team coordinated effort of some skill you have to do?
It's honestly not the mechanic that needs to be done is not challenging.
Okay.
Staying alive doing it is very hard to do.
I've been in that situation before. Yeah, you try. Yeah.
There's a lot of enemies. There's more enemies on this one than they are. They're hitting you harder as well.
Yeah.
And the challenge takes longer to set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to do to get it set up.
Yeah.
But staying alive while doing all of that is very difficult to do.
Yeah, the only issue is surviving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on plenty of Destiny 2 missions where it's been like that. We try to get through a thing, but you just get hit so hard, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah. And once you get that done, you go into a damage phase on the boss. And that's fine, but because it's a master level, the chunk of health that you take down on him is not very much.
Mm-hmm.
You have to literally do like a 3-phase thing on this guy. You get 4 phases before it wipes the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only revive 6 times. You know, if you got 6 deaths, that's it. You can't revive anymore, and it's gonna wipe you. So, anyway, just staying alive was the problem for everybody else.
I've played a lot of games like that. Getting there ain't the problem. It's just surviving through it. Yeah.
So tonight is the final encounters challenge. I tried to run this last night with a group just to get a either get a feel for it and get it done so that hopefully we're not there for 4 hours, and I don't think we will be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I joined a group that I swear had put in their little looking for somebody to play, had said that they were working on that challenge. But when I joined them and I'm talking to them, I'm like, okay, do you need me to say, oh, no, we're not doing the challenge. We're just doing a clear. You know, we don't care about the challenge. We're just finishing off the boss on the master section of this. And I said, oh, all right, I can run that. So I ran that without doing the challenge. And the challenge has no it doesn't limit you on the damage that you put on the boss.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the challenge of the mechanic is everybody has to do this one thing, which makes it tougher because when you don't have to do that, you can assign two people to do all of it,
mm-hmm.
while everybody else just takes care of all the enemies going on around. In this one, it's not that way. Everybody has to do...
So you have to work in shifts.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And avoid the white mechanic and avoid everybody dying. We had no problem when I ran this last night without the challenge. Again, challenge is just something to do in the thing. Nothing, it doesn't raise the stakes or anything like that. It doesn't make it more difficult. You're still doing the master version. You're still doing the most difficult part of it. So running that last night gave me a feel of how that's going to be when we do the challenge. Had no problem keeping people alive. Had no problem doing damage. We did him in two phases, which is pretty good for the master boss. So that wasn't bad at all either. Which makes me hopeful for tonight when we run this. Mm. I feel pretty hopeful on this. And I feel like if we can't get it done within whatever time limit I give myself, probably 2 hours, I feel like I can pick up a group the next day or something like that, and we can probably get it done. Mm. But I feel like we'll be able to get it done tonight. Mm. So I don't think that'll – I say that. I don't want to jinx myself. I don't want to sit here and say that, and then it's like, oh, man, bang our head against the wall forever.
6.5 hours later.
Yeah, I know. My Guardian is currently ranked 10 out of 11.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to the 11th rank, the only thing that I have to do is get my Conqueror title. The Conqueror title requires you to do all 6 Grandmaster Nightfalls. I've done 2 so far, and I can do the other 4 no problem. I'm not worried about Grandmasters. So it requires me to do that. That's not going to be a problem. The other thing it requires me to do, and I've never done this before, and I'm going to give it an attempt at some point, I have to solo a dungeon. Dungeons don't have wipe mechanics. Dungeons don't have timers. So I can take as long as I need to do it, but I have to do it by myself. Which is something I've never tried before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do it flawlessly. I don't have to not die while doing it.
I'm about to say take your time on that one.
I just have to do it. I just have to finish it. And there's no timer. Again, there's no timer.
Right.
There's, 4 encounters. Can take as long as I need to get them done. Yeah. But, yeah. So that'll be down the road.
I'm about to say make sure nobody can just jump in your game.
No, I can set that to, you know, I can set it to nobody can jump in. I can set it to invite only if I want to do that.
Yeah, make sure you do that.
I rarely ever have an issue where somebody's joining my game out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That has never happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. It may have.
Well, when you make your run, make sure it can't happen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get to the boss and somebody join in and be like, oh, no. Oh, no, I got to start over. Hey, we're going to have to start over. Well, we're not going to have to start over. We're going to have to go to our break and then start again. So we're going to go to break. We'll be back. We'll jump into the news, of which there was a lot over the past 2 weeks. We'll get into some of that. Here is music from a game called Against the Storm. The track for this is called Cataclysm. I want to say that all the music I got for this week... almost all of it came from one there was a publisher sale on Steam, and that was pulling lots of game titles where it's like, ooh, I've never done this. I've never done this one. But they're all very, not ambient, but very chill type beats.
Relaxing?
Huh?
Just relaxing?
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what you just consider relaxing, but it's very chill. Which sounds relaxing, but it may not be relaxing to some people. So. Anyway, and this track may be the one outlier that isn't. I don't remember. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game. I told you everything was all chill and very low-key, relaxed, everything else. From a game called Whisper of a Machine. The track on this is called Fenrir. In fact, all the tracks seemingly were Viking mythology, I want to say. Norse mythology. Can't remember the publisher.
God of War was, wasn't it?
God of War,
God of
yeah.
War is yeah.
Norse mythology. Yeah. Yeah. Or at least the previous two that have been, 2018 and then last year's.
Yeah. The new ones are Norse. The old ones was Greek.
Greek, yeah. Which was interesting that they took him, like, hey, how much? We've milked everything we can out of this Greek mythology bit, so where can we go next? And they went into Norse mythology.
But Greek was a more popular one, wasn't it?
Well, being God of War is, well, I guess it is a Norse and a Greek thing. I guess it's all of the mythology things. They all have their war god type person. But, I guess probably it's, I don't know if that was more popular or probably maybe at the time. I don't know.
More readily known.
Likely, yes. Easily more readily known at that point that I know of, yeah. I don't know of anything that was doing... Outside of a game called Vikings, which was very, I don't say kid-friendly, but goes back to the time when you could buy Lemmings on your PC or you could buy Vikings on your PC. And I can't remember what the Viking game was about called Vikings, but and I don't think it had anything to do with any kind of mythology in it either, but yeah. Regardless, welcome back to the show. Just a few minutes here before we go back to a break here. I know, because we ran long in the last segment, but hey, it's been 2 weeks, so what do we have going on? I mean, I've got tons of news. AC Wraith says it was a puzzle game managing characters with different mobilities. The Vikings game were. So, yeah, it was kind of like Lemmings, I thought.
Yeah. 2D, right?
Yeah.
2D side-scroller?
Yeah.
But yeah. One Viking could break stone to get them through or something like that. One could leap. Yeah, okay, yeah, that type of thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Strategy, yeah.
That's why I compared it so much to Lemmings, because it seemed to be the same thing. Like, this guy builds bridges. This guy destroys rock. This guy can move the dirt so you can get across or whatever. I don't know what the thing is, but anyway.
Lemmings, Vikings, worms.
Yeah, well, worms was like a battle thing, right?
Yeah, one of them had a bazooka.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Worms was like tank.
Okay.
But with worms. Remember the old tank game? You had two tanks on each side?
Yeah, I'm thinking like strategy. You have tools. Use them. Use them to the best of their ability to get the job done.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing I'm thinking about, yeah.
What do we have in news? I mean, there was tons of it because it's been that long. And I kind of want to go, I guess, I don't know if I want to go down the list or just cherry pick some stuff here.
See what's most interesting.
Well, I don't know. The Mario Brothers movie came out.
Yeah.
It has broken record after record after record for being animated, also based on a video game. It has just been massive. It surpassed Warcraft as being the most successful video game film.
Mm-hmm.
Warcraft was up there from 2018? 2017, maybe? I can't remember. But yeah, surpassed that, which I figured it would, being that it's animated and it's Mario, that's going to go a long way.
2016,
yeah. What I hope we get is based on this, based on Last of Us being as revered as it was as well, is that we get more video game movies. And hopefully we take the turn into the better depictions of video games in other media.
Media, yeah.
So here's hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Last of Us did great. Mario's doing great. So if they can just keep that role going, you know, then that'd be good. Uncharted wasn't necessarily a bomb of any sorts. It made some money. It was not very successful, but it made its profit back from what I understand. I don't know if they're going to get along with a sequel there, maybe, or they just probably what you would think they would do. I mean, being Sony, is that they looked at Last of Us and they said, oh, wow, we turned that game into a really good show. Mm-hmm. And that was Naughty Dog. So let's take their other property and let's try again to turn that into something. Maybe they look at it that way. I don't know. There's a Gran Turismo movie coming out soon. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be, I don't know. It would be nice. I figure there's going to be an uptick. Mm-hmm. From seeing the success of these two things, at least these two things, I figure there's going to be an uptick in projects that start getting moved forward that are video game based.
Yeah,
is what I figure.
Make it entertaining.
Yeah, and I hope exactly. I really hope it's a launch pad for making these things good.
Making it entertaining should be your first and foremost priority.
Yeah.
In this project,
I would agree with you on that.
As long as you do that, you should be fine.
What else did we have? Speaking of Mario Brothers, their theme is the first video game music that has been enshrined in the National Recording Registry. The theme to Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. So, congrats on that. Suicide Squad got delayed. We knew it was going to get delayed, but we did not get a date. We have it now. 2024, and I want to say it was it February of 2024? Let's see. Yeah, February 2nd of 2024. We have made the tough but necessary decision to take the time needed to work on getting the game to be the best quality experience for players. Thank you to our amazing community for the continued support, patience, and understanding. There is much more to share in the months ahead, and we look forward to seeing you in Metropolis next year. Good luck, Rocksteady.
Got a word from the chat from Lethal Migraine. The Tetris movie is pretty good.
Yeah, that's on Apple TV or whatever. Yeah. I had heard that was a pretty decent flick. Now, see, that's the thing. It's not based on, they're making a movie about Tetris. No. They're making a movie about
getting Tetris.
How
Tetris got into the hands of players around
the world. Exactly. Not really making a movie based on, you know, line piece. Squiggly. Yeah. Reverse squiggly. Square.
What was that movie? Pixels?
Oh, Jesus.
It's not that. No, it's not that.
No, it's not. God. Pixels. No. It's not that. It's not Free Guy either. Free Guy I thought was interesting where they did the just gaming tropes and put them in a film. Like that. That was okay with Free Guy. It was not. It was all right. It did okay. It did pretty good.
Was it a cool idea but poorly implemented? That type of thing?
I don't know. I just wasn't. It didn't hold my attention.
Okay.
It just didn't hold my attention.
So, not entertaining.
I really wasn't entertained.
Not entertaining.
And I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe my entertainment threshold is lowering or raising. I don't know what the situation is. I'm not sure. It's tough, man. It's tough to see something excellent and then watch something else and be like, oh man, this isn't as great as what I just watched before. You can't really compare them that way, but it's still one of those things where it's like, ah, this is not pulling me in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really not. Free Guy felt familiar in the sense of Ready Player One, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Entering a game, that sort of thing, and all the cameos and things like this that were made. And I'm not saying Ready Player One was better than Free Guy was. So it was just, yeah. Just felt like I'd been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
So Battleship was much better than it should have been. Based on a board game, Battleship's bad. But it's not near as bad as everything I read led me to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't great, but it's got some cool stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I would enjoy Battleship better than I would enjoy Free Guy. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really pay attention much. John Wick's awesome. Go see that.
Yeah.
We got a phone call real quick before we go to break. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
It's me again. It's Chris. Y'all are talking about the Mario movie. Me and my parents watched all that too, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. They did the fan service, and you know, like the Sonic movies and the other previous ones, they've really stuck to the storyline and the franchise of what's been in the series and hadn't vandalized other series and stuff like Hollywood has done in the past on some things.
Yeah, I really wasn't worried about it. I honestly wasn't. I wasn't even worried about Chris Pratt being Mario. It's like, it's not going to matter.
I wouldn't think of anything about that. I mean, you know, to me, that's Mario. It didn't matter. I mean, he did good on his role. He did fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not going to matter. People are worried way too much over that to be worried about that. You should worry about the story and everything else. That voice will be fine. Chris Pratt has done voiceover. He's done voice work. He'll be fine.
Bowser too.
Yeah, yeah, everybody.
I thoroughly enjoyed him as that role as well.
Yeah, not a problem at all with the voice actor's pick. And I mean, I may have said stuff in the past about it, and that's fine. But it wasn't something that I thought that's going to ruin the film. It's not. It's not.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to see where it could have went, you know, like before we got the remake of Sonic, you know, for when everybody was complaining about that one before it came
right,
out.
Right. Yeah.
Have you seen the? The video that Flash gets had put out on Hollywood Eats Mario, that could have been the way it could have been. You know, we really can't discuss what happened in that little video, but yeah, that one's something to talk about.
Well,
yeah.
Well, thanks for calling back on that one and letting us know. We're about to go to break here, but good to hear in front of you. See ya.
Take care now.
Yeah, Mario.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. Some of the problems with a lot of movies or film based off of well-known franchises, the problem is like someone's vision of what it should be instead of staying to what the staying true to the source material. That's happened way too many times.
Yeah.
With certain franchises, and Nintendo doesn't seem like the type of company that would allow you to have your certain vision of
they're pretty locked down on their intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
Massively so.
Yeah.
And they do not care who you are. They do not. You put their stuff on YouTube, you will get it taken down. Mm-hmm. They don't care who you are. Unless you're owned by them, that's the only way you can do it.
Yep.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll jump into more news here. I want to talk about that Unrecord game, which is a stupid name for a game. Hopefully they change it, but it is an amazing looking thing to see. We'll be right back with that. We got a game called Roki, I guess, R-O-K-I.
Roki.
With an umlaut over the O. So that would be Rookie, wouldn't it?
Make it
a long O or something?
The umlauts throw me off.
Anyway, the name of the track's called Monsters Are Real. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Kathy Rain. I know. It's, again, this was some publisher sale and I don't remember which. But Kathy Rain and the track is called Good Times. Told you everything was very chill. Very relaxing. And it was 420 this week, so maybe that's why.
Oh.
I don't know, man. I was like, I just need tracks. Oh, here's stuff I haven't used yet. And it just turned out to be real chill. Welcome back to the show. So, I wanted to talk about this game called Unrecord, which is a horrible, stupid name.
But it's memorable.
Well, I'm just giving you that because otherwise you can call it Body Cam the Game, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. But if you can look up, just all you have to do is type in Unrecord or Google Unrecord or go to YouTube and type in Unrecord and you'll see the trailer.
Okay.
This thing looks like an FMV. Remember the old Sewer Shark and... Night Trap and things like that.
Shoot the tubes, dog meat.
Right. Yeah. Now, where that stuff looked like people were in front of a green screen sometimes when they were doing whatever, this does not. But this does look, it looks fake. In other words, it looks like somebody recorded live action stuff and said, oh, no, it's a game you can play. And look, and they put little game things superimposed over the images so it feel gamey. No, it is legit a game, and it is, I'm really impressed. There's a lot of things that go into it to show it off. It looks like it's from a body cam of a police officer, and you're going through a warehouse and you're trying to clear it out. The way the camera moves, the way the animations are for your reload, for your movement of the gun, for everything else, looks super realistic. I don't know if you've watched any of it yet.
I'm looking at a little bit of the video now, and I'm thinking of that movie, Hardcore Henry.
Right. Yeah. But still, looks live action. Looks real. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that you're watching is game. Mm-hmm. All of that is assets built into Unreal Engine 5.
Mm-hmm.
None of it is real.
Hmm.
None of it is like the background is some like static image that they took a picture of and that. No, none of it. It is all in-game content. The animation, the movements, everything has been coded and programmed. It is all a video game. And it's not VR. It is whatever you would call that as a first-person shooter. It looks like it's made for VR. It moves like someone with VR is playing it.
Yeah, so it looks like authentic, realistic.
It really, I mean, super photorealistic looking things.
Yeah, but I was looking at the animation where the door kick animation. It was exactly the same. There was no variation,
right,
in it.
Yeah.
So that was an indicator that this is not
some actor doing this. Yeah. First glance, you feel like you're watching a video. The more you watch it, and especially towards the end of the video, there's like a big explosion that happens, and it's there's a longer time of somebody on screen to look at, and you can get the, like when the guy gets shot and everything. Originally, going through it, you see quick glimpses of the bad guys, and then bang bang, and then they fall down, that sort of thing. There's a section towards the end where you have a little bit longer to look at this person, and even when you make the shot and they go down, you're still looking at them. They don't fall behind cover or anything like that. And then an explosion takes place. You have like a choice, a little dialogue wheel comes up as to what you want to say to this person.
It looks like something like Mass Effect, like pick the direction that you want to go.
You pick what you want to say to them, but the explosion that happens, the movement of the enemy player in that scenario, because you have more time looking at them, you can see the gamey parts of it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm really not discounting it because, oh no, it breaks apart at the end. No. Thing looks amazing. I think I'm more interested once I realize that what I am looking at is a game, I then become focused in on how do they make this look so ultra realistic? Well, number one, they got rid of the sun. If you watch it at the beginning, it seems overcast. So their lighting doesn't have to do anything dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sun, and maybe there's a version where they have it moved around or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
There is a video because a lot of people came up and or a lot of people were saying like, ah, it's not real. There's a video where he shows you the game running in Unreal Engine 5's software.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a no-clip thing. And so he moves the camera all over the field, going through walls and stuff like that, showing you, no, it's a game.
Yeah.
All of this is a game.
I mean, there are images, there are still images here of outdoors in the sunlight. So mm-hmm. maybe that'll change with the video. Like you said, yeah, it's in the, like in that abandoned warehouse.
All right.
The lights coming in through the windows and whatnot.
So yeah. On doesn't seem like there's a lot of dynamic lighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there may be when gunshots are fired, but that happens so fast that I don't really see that too much. But it doesn't seem like they had to worry about the lighting so much. The other thing is that there's just not an enemy in every single room. Mm-hmm. The lack of enemies give more
realistic view.
Realism to
also,
it.
Also, no HUD.
There is absolutely no HUD.
There's no HUD.
Until you get to that one player where you can talk to them.
You talk. But for the most part, you're not looking at your health meter or how
well,
much
every time. Now, there is a section where he unloads a gun. He unloads and looks at what he's got left.
Yeah.
And it gives a counter on that.
On the
a little number, like 4 out of 5, you know.
The magazine or?
On the magazine.
Okay, yeah.
And then he puts that back in or he reloads.
Yeah, but the point I'm trying to make is that it's not a constant in your face
it's
display
not.
Of your of your
you don't have anything stats. And I don't know how far in development this game is, and I also don't know if this is just a proof of concept or if this is going into a much bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
To know, like, well, will you have a HUD? How do I know which way I'm going, or if I'm going the right way, or what's the? I don't know. I don't know any of those things.
How realistic do you want this to be? Because what's good? What you got going here?
And I don't know how far I don't know how far out we are from this being a thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of given the way that the things have gone with police lately. Hell, given the way things are gone with by people just being in the wrong place.
Life in general, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, in a matter of a week, we have had 4 shootings at people who were just at the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
One happened just yesterday, overnight, last night. They were Instacart people. They were delivering groceries. They went to the wrong house, and they got shot at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just ridiculous. I mean, if anything, let them drop off the groceries and you got groceries. Mm-hmm. You might have somebody else's groceries, but that's on them, not you. Well, maybe it is on you, but still, if they drop that off and there's no address or anything listed on the groceries itself, what are you going to do? You got groceries. Mm-hmm. Why shoot them? Why shoot at them? Anyway, point being, there's a little bit of like, but I kind of throw that off because I'm like, you've played police in God knows how many games. You've never had a problem with it before. So it's fine. And again, we don't know the context of anything about what this game is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Storyline wise, we have no idea. But that's not why I care about it. I care about it because of the realism that's in it.
Yeah.
So, again, going back to what I was thinking about, the lack of enemies, the overcast, so that you don't have to worry about lighting dynamics to see how that's all going to work. I don't think you see tactical type tactical things done, like he doesn't throw smoke or a flashbang or anything like that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I would need to go back and watch that. So you don't have any of those effects going on. Any of those situations where it is particle effects and things like this happening. The other thing that is really interesting, and you kind of have to put yourself in the idea of playing a first person shooter. When you play a first person shooter, one controls the movement of your character, the other controls where you're looking, or essentially pointing your gun.
Yeah,
that's the weird part about that. When you watch that,
you would.
The gun is going everywhere. Like, I don't understand how the focal point of anything works because of how the movement is done on the character model itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. So how do I aim the gun if I am, I don't know.
It's, look at it.
Yeah. I know, it looks but like it's...
You got to look at it.
Still, though, it's not...
I don't recall seeing any strafing or...
Right, I don't know. There's not... I don't even know if there's leaning, but I think there is.
Because you said this is coming from the dash, the body cam footage, right?
It gives you that implementation that it's a body cam.
Okay.
It's yeah. not, because if you look at body cam footage is usually much lower on the body than where this is in mm-hmm. unrecord. In fact, you have arms that are in the way of body cam a lot of times because yeah. of where the camera is positioned on the person. This...
Unless he's swatting this on his helmet.
Yeah, possibly.
But then again, the camera would go where his head would go.
Yeah.
If that was the case. Or shoulder, or upper shoulder.
Yeah.
Top of the shoulder.
Point being is that this adds to the realism of it. Basically, yeah. you have full vision of everything, but they have sealed that off to give you a little bit more of a sense of, I don't want to say claustrophobic situation.
From what I'm looking at, it's a fisheye view. It's from the camera
because
you have the circular edge of the camera
mm-hmm.
blocked off the
they corners. They fisheye yeah. it a little bit, the fisheye, so they've given it an effect,
yeah.
which again adds to the realism to it,
mm-hmm.
Along with the animation. The animation is just weird. And I say just weird because the way that the reloads go, when he pulls that out, the way the movement of the animation of the arm, the hand, even little things like when he, when your character is holding the gun, they will sometimes reposition their hand in.
Get comfortable.
In yeah. holding. Yeah. Like it's a tiny little thing that adds to the realism of it. So yeah. anyway, I don't know anything about a release date or when it's coming out or anything like that. I don't know if it's a part of a much larger game or something like that. But mm-hmm. Look up Unrecord on YouTube and watch it there and realize that everything you're looking at is a video game.
Yeah,
it's it'll blow your mind. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of other examples of what that is, and I want to say it was a game called Ride 4.
Hmm.
Is it called Ride 4? I don't know. It's a racing bike game
mm-hmm.
that has
Ride 4. Fully dynamic weather condition systems, complete day-night cycle.
But yeah.
It seems like a very big attention to detail on this one as well. And there's a Ride 5. Okay.
Yeah. The Ride 4 PC gameplay that I'm looking at here as I wait for it to come up. Yeah, that looks amazing.
And this came out in 2020, October.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw this link into our chat room mm-hmm. real quick so people can see that. It's another example of something that's very photorealistic, and it's doing a good job of... I'm watching a stretch of gameplay here, and things are moving real fast, which helps in the fact that you can't focus on one single thing at a time
because
mm-hmm. it's moving by so fast. But God, it looks good. It looks real, real good. Even the, what was that, oil or something in his container on his bike is like, jostling, you know, it's got some liquid effects there. Again, by the way, something else to look at, or at least the one that I'm looking at, the video I'm looking at, wet streets, overcast, don't have to worry about lighting, sunlight. But I'm almost positive, given that this game is already out, that it probably has a day-night cycle type thing, or day races and night races and things like that. But this, it's another game that looks just amazing in execution. I don't know how well this game plays. I honestly, this is the only thing that I've heard about it is the fact of how realistic this game looks. I haven't heard anything else about it. Anytime somebody talks about this game, it's, ooh, look how real it is. Not, well, how well does it control? How well does it play? And I'm talking about the racing game here because
mm-hmm.
I haven't heard anything else about it other than that.
Well, so. Looking at it on Steam, it's all reviews are skewed very positive.
Very positive? That's a good yeah. distinguished... Or what's it called? That's a good thing to have on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Very positive, overly positive. That's good to have on Steam. So anyway, check that out if you could, or if you want to.
Yeah, Unrecord.
Yeah. What else went on? A lot of people left Microsoft. Actually, let me put that back. A lot of people left 343 Studios. Mm-hmm. Joseph Staten, who was the lead creative in Halo, left Microsoft. And I believe he's joining up with Netflix? Or is that Frank O'Connor was another one who was a Halo guy. He left and got hired by Netflix for gaming. Which was interesting. So yeah, there was a lot, they were losing a lot of people. One of our guys in our, over on the clan Discord, let me see if I can move to it. I want to find, it wasn't off topic, it was General Gaming. He put up a list of, yeah, so here we go. Creative director in August of 2019, he left. And the executive producer, Mary Olson, she left. October 2020, director Chris Lee left. March 2022, lead multiplayer designer left. May of 2022, the head of design left. September, Bonnie Ross, the head of the studio, left. But that was for personal reasons, not for anything else. December of last year, Tom French, the multiplayer creative director, he left. Staten left earlier this month. And then Frank O'Connor left. Just recently as well. That's a lot of departures from one studio. Given 343 Studios is massive, but these were a lot of people who were there from one of the early beginnings of that. Staten, very early beginnings. He was originally with Halo.
Yeah, knows a lot of leads and mm-hmm. leads.
Frank O'Connor those, yeah. and Joseph, they have all been with that team from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think Joseph left for a while and then came back. But yeah, that's probably a pretty big loss. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily that it means anything bad for 343 Studios. I don't really think they've been able to find a foothold since Halo 4, maybe even before, maybe after the whole Bungie split. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've found a good footing on that, because nothing has really. Things have worked with Halo 5 and then Halo Infinite or whatever. Things have worked, but things haven't been what they were at one point. Mm. Whether it be technical aspects or other problems, or just not getting a good chunk of the market to buy the game. So, I don't know. They'll be fine, I think, but... it was interesting to hear all these people leaving. Most of them going other places. Like I said, Staten went to Netflix, and then I think Frank may have gone to Netflix as well, or one of them went to Netflix. Maybe the other one's going too. Don't know on that. What else do we have? Trine 5 got announced, and it's coming this summer. If you liked Trine 1 through 4, well, now you got a fifth. And Diablo 4 is doing another beta sometime in May, and I've got the date here. But it's going to be a server slam that'll run from May 12th to May 14th. And they really want people to just go online and play the game. See if you can take down their servers. So... it'll be available on PC and all the consoles. Well, I say all the consoles. PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, current Xbox, and previous Xbox. Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One. Okay, yeah. Both versions. So we need as many people to log in and check out Diablo 4 and play the game, because we need to test our servers before launch. So they say. I think their servers are fine. I think this is more of a sense of, hey, maybe it'll pull in more sales. It's easy to do, especially when your beta goes off pretty well earlier. Like, your closed beta did pretty good. Your open beta did really well, as far as like bugs or anything. It seems like you got that taken care of. And now, yeah, this is going to be a test for the server, but it's also a marketing ploy. Easily enough, it has to be a marketing ploy. Although, from everything I've heard from folks in our clan who are playing it, and then just in general, kind of looking around on message boards, I think they're fine. I don't think they have anything to worry about. I think the player base is on board with what they've done. And they may have some questions about how they're changing some things and how they're tweaking things before launch, but I think in general they're pretty pleased with what they're getting, and are looking forward to getting into it more. So, yep, we're going to take a break and then we'll come back and jump into more news. This is music from a game called Princess and Conquest. Very weird title for a game. This is called A Trio of Beats. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Kind of got lost listening to the music there for a minute. It's like, hey, that's nice. This is from a game called War Tales. It's the music that plays during the main menu. So.
You were lost in the music. I was lost in the...
You were... Well, yeah, what were you looking up?
Crab Champions.
Yeah, we used music from that not too long ago. It looks low-key, but it's like crabs with... And I think it's also very positive or overwhelmingly...
It's overwhelmingly positive.
Overwhelmingly positive on Steam.
Crabs with fully automatic weapons.
Yeah, I'm sometimes wondering if it's just... Those are just meme reviews, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, this thing is such crap, let's send it to the top. But I tend to trust the reviews on Steam. I tend to. I shouldn't, because I've read plenty of article where... Games on Steam get review bombed.
Yeah.
For
everything gets review bombed.
Yeah, for whatever the case may be. So, hey, a big thank you to everybody hanging out. AC Wraith, Alistra, Bama Brian, Community 18K members, whatever. Drapsnat, Elysian, Lisa Bay, I think. Kata, Lethal Migraine, Sophical, Steven HV93KL. Streamer Social Space and Unknown Scout. So, thanks for hanging out in the chat room and probably watching the show, I guess. Maybe listening to the show. Oh, goodness. What else we got? Sega. Sega bought a company, right? Is that what I read? Where'd it go? There's so much news. Sega has bought Rovio, the people who made Angry Birds. They bought them for $775 million. So, yeah.
Mobile apps.
Okay, Unknown Scout says Crab Champions is pretty solid. It's a run-based horde mode with a ton of upgrades. Huh. That does sound interesting. I have not watched a single trailer on it. All I've seen is just the key art with a crab holding like a knife or a gun or something. So that's all I've seen on it.
No, it's a crab running around making a mess out of his enemies.
All right.
Yep. Let's see. Rovio, a Finnish video game developer based in Espoo. Founded in 2003 by Helsinki University of Technology students, Nicholas Head, Jarno Bakkavainen, and Kim Dykert.
They're
known for Angry Birds.
Yeah, Angry Birds is what they is their claim to fame. Yeah. And Sega now owns them. I don't know if they've done anything other than more Angry Bird games. I don't know if they ever tried anything new after that, or if they just stuck with, hey, this is what worked. Let's keep going with this.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah.
The question is now, what's Sega going to do with them?
I don't know. It's a good question,
well,
though.
Do with their assets and their abilities, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. There was that whole leak on Discord, not only with a Zelda situation where Nintendo got the person fired from their job for the leak. Again, Nintendo don't play.
Nintendo doesn't play, folks.
Just don't know. Yeah, so got a guy fired from his job for that. But then, of course, there was that whole military documents that got leaked on Discord. That was a doozy. I never saw any of it, but yeah, they were able to get, they were able to find out who this guy was through Discord and I want to say Steam as well. The guy who leaked all those military documents. So there was a game connection there, but a very minimal game connection. And I'm the less game connection that you can make to that, the better. Because I really, really, really can't stand the blaming of video games for practically everything.
Yeah, video games is taking the
place. Or anything.
Video games is taking the place of rock and roll back in the day, remember?
And it's taking the place of, it is the, if a young person does anything that makes the news in a negative way, it usually falls on video games.
Mm-hmm.
Can usually fall on video games.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. And there's a whole social thing we could get into as to how that is derived and come to that conclusion and everything else. There's a whole...
Something to blame besides ourselves.
Yeah. There's more that I can say on that, but I really don't want to get into that.
That's a whole show.
Really don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
It's a whole show, and it's a whole lot of calls. It's, I just don't... I don't want to deal with it.
I'll take it back. It's a whole month.
Don't want to deal with it. What else do we have? There was a showcase for the Final Fantasy 16. I watched some of that. And still interested in playing the game when it releases coming up here pretty soon. There's a ton of stuff here. Just I'm like, no, man, I don't have time. We're getting a new Quidditch game. There was supposed to be a Quidditch part for the Harry Potter game that never made it into that. That's why it's getting its own version. So they're doing some Harry Potter Quidditch thing that's going to be a standalone multiplayer for that. That'll probably look a lot like Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
But will and probably allow access for importing of your character into that game, I would imagine. I can't imagine that they're not thinking about that or trying to figure out a way to make it happen. Not that you were thinking, hey, I wonder when that Alice sequel is going to come about, but you're not getting one. EA has told American McGee that, you know, your Alice games stop at 2. You're not going to make a third one.
Shame.
Yeah. He's actually fine with it. He sent something out social media-wise or whatever saying, for those of you who are mad at EA, like, it's cool. We agreed on this. We're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's no problem. Don't worry about it. I guess he probably had ideas for one, but yeah, he's probably like, okay, that's fine. They don't want to do it, then I'm fine with not doing it. Maybe he'll change the IP.
Yeah.
Take what he knows that he was going to do for the third, turn that into something altogether different for a new IP.
Yeah,
he might, but I really haven't heard anything.
Well, it's a good game, though. Madness Returns. Mm-hmm. It was the first Alice, American McGee Alice game.
Yeah.
Entertaining. It held my interest through the entire playthrough.
Yeah.
Really did.
And then there was a sequel. I don't remember the sequel.
The sequel is the one I...
Oh, you did the... Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
The sequel is the one I played.
Yeah.
Never played the original.
Let's see. Amnesia's sequel, The Bunker, has been delayed to May 23rd. I don't know when that was going to be released to begin with, but it got a delay. Elden Ring's Miyazaki, named to Time's 100 Most Influential People list for 2023.
Game's a success.
We talked about Halo. We talked about Warcraft. Talked about Sega. We talked about Netflix. We talked about all that. I think Firmament, the game coming from the Cyan folks who did Myst and everything, their next game is supposed to be releasing in May. And I want to say it's a first-person puzzler, but I think it's VR. It's got VR in baked into it, maybe. So... one of the designers at Naughty Dog says that Star Wars Battlefront 3 was in the works, but it was canceled. And apparently it looked, or it was very, very good. The guy said, and they quote, legit incredible of what Battlefront 3 looked like. But LucasArts canceled it for whatever reason. And what else? There was a Street Fighter showcase, but you know about that because that's where you got the demo from. Because of that. Nintendo Switch had a world showcase, and everything that was shown off there. What did we have? Ooh, that looks Cult of the Lammy. Let's see. Maniko's Night Market. I don't know what that is. It looks like a fun adventure with wonderfully cute visuals and a mythological backdrop about a magical cat god who has since disappeared and entered into the status of fairy tale. It comes out September 26th. My Time at Sandrock, which is a farming-type simulator thing, that'll get a Switch release. It's already out on PC. Played Up, a roguelike management sim, has you take on the role of a chef tasked with the endless job of keeping a kitchen running, customers fed, all while planning for the future of your culinary business with various expansion opportunities. That comes out in October. It's very indie. All these things were. Quilts and Cats of Calico. It's a super chill board game sim, which adapts the physical version of the game to the digital realm. I've never heard of this game before. It's available this fall. Rift of the Necrodancer sounds like a spinoff of Crypt of the Necrodancer, and that is it. It arrives sometime this year. Animal Well. It is a labyrinth explorer with a bold and elegant visual style. It promises freedom of exploration with hidden items and deadly foes, but also some friends. It'll be in early 2024. Then there's a game called Crime O'Clock. It's a map-based crime-solving adventure. Sends you traveling through time with your actions influencing events in different time periods.
Sounds like Voyagers.
Yeah, it arrives June 30th of 2023. Sounds like a puzzle game, really. The stuff you do in the past will affect the future so that you can uncover whatever the crime is, I guess. Tesla Grad 2 and Tesla Grad Remastered are coming out. Oh, they're both on, they're both available now, released on the eShop. Shadows Over Loathing. It is a hand-drawn stick figure style mystery solver set in the 1920s. Very indie, of course. Blasphemous 2. It's getting a sequel. It'll be out on the Switch this summer. Oxenfree 2. It'll come out July 12th. It's set 5 years after the first game. A Little to the Left is getting some DLC called Cupboards and Drawers. This is an organizing type game, kind of like Unpacking. Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon Puzzlers Pack comes out. Cult of the Lamb, Relics of the Old Faith. That's DLC, I guess, for Cult of the Lamb. That is getting released Tuesday. Monday, actually. And it's free. Interesting. Okay. That's a free update. That's nice.
Have at it.
Game called Paper Trail. That is due out in August on the Switch. Little Kitty Big City. It's your play a cat walking around a big city. Yeah, exactly.
Is that a straight knockoff?
Chance of Sinnar? I don't know what that is, and it doesn't have a release date. Brotato. Brotato is a twin-stick shooter where you play kind of like a potato that has guns. Brotato.
I was about to say a buff potato. Oh, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Escape Academy Complete Edition, Five Nights at Freddy, Security Breach. Mm-hmm. Ah, yes. Bomb Rush Cyberfunk. That is the Jet Set Radio spiritual successor type thing. Mm. Yeah, it has a very Jet Set Radio look to it. It arrives on the Switch August 18th of this year. So, Bomb Rush Cyberfunk. So that's what we got out of the Nintendo thing. They're also doing something for E3. They're not going to be at E3, but they're doing a live fan event. And I'm trying to tell you exactly what this... Nintendo announced on Twitter that its in-person event, which is open to fans of all ages, will take place in the rainy city of Seattle this September. Let's see. According to the company's website, there will be live stage performances, a large-scale themed area, photo opportunities with some characters, and tournaments that'll be going on as well. It's take place in Seattle this September. I wonder if it's going to line up with PAX. Pretty good opportunity if they were to do that, but we'll see. So is that it? Did we cover everything? The only other thing I had in here was talk about, it was something from Bungie. They had a crackdown on some leaks. Somebody in the community that they had invited to a community event. One of the content creators, like a YouTuber and stuff, they invite people to community events.
Yeah.
This was held digitally, so they were Zooming in or whatever the case may be. They were attending from home.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, everybody signed an NDA. But apparently this one guy has been leaking things from these little community events for years now. And they finally caught him. I don't know what the case was, but they probably because they were doing it from home and not in a live event setting.
Mm-hmm.
So there were things that could easily be seen by what was being shared. Anyway, they traced it all back to this one guy who really, really, at first he gave in. Like at first, he didn't fight back on it. And then members of the community and some members of the higher in the community who like other YouTubers and other people who write articles about Destiny and things like that started coming to his defense, and it put a little courage in him. So he started to refute it. And then Bungie fired back and said, look, we have taken the action that we've taken because we have the evidence. We don't like it. We don't like when these things happen either, but this is the dude. Like they didn't put out all their evidence or anything. They just made it clear that like we know what we did, and we are not wrong in what we did. We have what we need to show that it was this person.
And this guy did sign
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he signed an NDA. So, now, the guy was saying that, you know, it was somebody took the photos and put, like, his, whatever the case may be, put that on there. But they're like, no, it's you. It's you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, I mean, that's the only other thing I had.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to see that unfold over the week. Because
mm-hmm.
I did see people coming to the defense of him or saying that, you know, what does it matter, that sort of thing. They're not suing the guy that I know. They've just banned him completely from the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, he doesn't get invited to anything.
Yeah,
they could literally make an example out of him if they wanted to and sue him, but they've sued plenty of other people so far. I guess they just want to know that, look, this is what happens when you break an NDA. You lose everything.
Yeah,
because his whole YouTube career, his whole everything was based on playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And now he can no longer play that game. At least on that account. He might can make a new account, but starting over at this point is not going to be good for him. because nobody's going to watch videos. You can't make videos on new content because you have to get to that new content. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's something that could be done pretty quick, but I mean, think about all the things that you lose if you lose access to this game. Think about all the weapons. Think about all the exotics that you have. Think about all the runs that you've done. Think about all the triumphs you've made. Think about everything that you have been able to do. And you have this whole arsenal at your disposal anytime you need it to run any sort of thing that you want in the game. It's gone.
All I'm thinking about is how much time spent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the game to get to that point.
Oh, yeah.
You put it all at risk. Well, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone now.
Yep. So, yeah.
If you want to contest it, we got the proof.
I've signed a few NDAs. I don't think I've broken any of them. I probably have now because they were old, you know, long ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You've gotten out of the spoiler territory.
Well, I was
now.
Just really big on like, man, I don't want to lose these people's trust for bringing me into this thing. It's rare that I got called to be involved in anything that I needed an NDA signed.
Yeah.
So whenever that came up, it's like, yeah, sure. No, I'll play by your rules. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same reason I don't bring people onto the show, and then grill them about stuff to try and.
You don't want to try to make.
No, I want to be like, hey, let's talk and be friends, and you come back and talk some more or whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm not looking to do any of that stuff. Not where this is involved. No, mm-hmm. Not that I know of. But yeah, so I guess that's going to do it. I mean, there's. Like I said, there was a lot of quick things that we kind of hit on everything. So, yeah, gamophobia. If I logged on to Destiny and there was some game glitch where it had erased everything, mm-hmm. like I would hit the internet hard and be like, look what happened to me. It could happen to you too. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's just a glitch where it glitched out.
Yeah.
Okay. There'd absolutely be nothing I can do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, all right, well, that's done. That's done.
Pray for a backup on a
It would be on somewhere. Them to replenish to do that. But I mean, I've been thinking about it, and I bring this up again. But you know, what are you going to do when you're done playing Destiny? Right.
Play something else.
Exactly. Play something else.
You got a backlog.
I do. And one that doesn't require the attention that Destiny does. And Destiny doesn't require that attention. I give it that attention.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Yeah. Is it at four digits now?
What, the time spent?
Your backlog.
Oh, my God. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up.
But over
1,000.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Got somebody calling in real quick. We don't have much time, but hi, who's this? You're on in-game chat.
Hey, this is George. How's it going? You're talking about the games and computer games and all that?
Yeah. We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. I only need about 30 seconds if you want to put me on the air. If not, I can call.
You're on the air right now.
Oh, I'm on the air now?
You are on the air right now. Let me make sure you know that. You're on the air right now.
All right. I want to play Truth or Baloney.
I'm
just kidding, man. This is George.
I know.
Greg, all right, man. I'm listening, but I don't have a clue what y'all were talking about.
You are a member of a very large club.
Hey, man, good to hear your voice always.
Good hearing you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Truth or Baloney?
That's a game we play during the week. Sometimes we play it.
Oh, okay.
We just, you know, you read a statement and they have to say, is that true or is that false?
Okay.
That's it. So, really easy game to play. I got a few more minutes left. Not many. I'll probably run some music here, but that's going to do it. We're going to try our raid challenge tonight. I don't know that I'll stream it. We'll see. I tried doing a stream last weekend, but I tried doing stream the last time we did one of these challenges.
Right.
And I completely stopped it because it was my video was choppy as hell when I was playing the game. Mm. And so I just... So I don't know. I was also trying to render the video for this show and also stream at the same time. There was a lot of... Yeah, it was just like, you know what? I'll just do this later.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. So anyway, I don't think we'll – trust me, you don't want to watch us bang our head at a wall like we've done doing these challenges. If it goes well, if it goes fast, that's fine. But it's not that I'm not confident. It's just that I hedge my bets. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, prepare for the worst. Anyway, that's going to do it for me. That's going to do it for RJ. We're going to be back next week. Thank you guys for joining us. And here's music from a game called Flat Eye. It is the main title music. We'll be back next Saturday. Have a great week.